Hey, friends, welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I just got a Fit Food shake in. Put my collagen. I didn't put a purple stick. I already had one earlier. I think I'm pretty good on that today. Haven't had too many issues with it. As far as too many issues, having too many purple sticks, I got up to taking a lot of purple sticks for a while. Like, I was taking like four a day, five a day.
I always take four a day. you try to make me convicted or something?
No, I wasn't. I was just tapering down off.
Sure,
I
do three for the show.
Yeah, one to two is good for the show for me. Then I've been allowed, I'm on Hagman, and then here I think it's like four. That turns to five. Then turns to six.
Well,
this whole case.
Well, yeah, I was talking to Rob last night. I was on the Wisconsin Daily News show last night. And
I'm going to have one.
Whatever, you know.
Well, they make you feel so much better in coffee. You don't get that withdrawal.
Well, what they do is that green tea helps reduce the risk of all these different types of diseases.
Sure, so you actually get antioxidants.
Yeah,
with
it. It's not like you're drinking coffee.
No.
I mean, I wouldn't drink it at 10 o'clock at night. You know?
I have. When I hag went along with Doug, and I'm like, all right, Doug,
last night, Rob said, I was kind of laying here about to take a nap for the show, and he goes, how about you get a purple stick, Ted?
Well, who are you on with last night?
Rob. Yeah, from Wisconsin Daily News.
Okay.
Well, Wisconsin Christian News.
Yeah.
And it was funny because I just he told the producer, he says, give him about 20 minutes.
Give him about 20 minutes.
And he was right. I did a thing on prayer last night if you guys want to watch it. It was really good. Went into detail on prayer, how Jesus created the heavens and the earth. It was kind of like an excerpt from Angel Wars, but it went into a little bit more depth on prayer. So it was pretty good. By the way, Donald Trump is using a lot of symbolism. You know, now he's got a picture of him, you know, being the guy from Apocalypse Now, wearing the cowboy hat, talking about
Apocalypse Now.
Yeah, I mean, I never understood that crazy.
That's a wild movie.
Well, yeah. He's doing the symbolism a lot because he's got a picture of him with Superman. He's sitting there, with the Superman uniform on.
He's continually branding himself. Well, Donald Trump's always been good at that.
Well, and then Whitehead Rutherford wrote a really good article on this. And here's what he said. He goes, here's a quote from Trump. The world will soon understand nothing can stop what is coming. Well, I don't even know what that's supposed to mean.
That's kind of ominous.
That's ominous, yeah.
Yeah.
Donald Trump has always been a master of imagery, and he is. From his red MAGA hats to his choreographed rallies, he understands the language of spectacle.
Yeah.
Now he has discovered the perfect propaganda machine, AI-generated images.
I've seen some of that now.
Okay. AI allows the creation of endless variations of Trump as a warrior, Trump as an enforcer, Trump as savior. These images spread across social media, replicated, remixed, and shared until they become familiar, even normalized. The latest AI-generated images of Trump shared on his social media account depict him as a militarized black uniform of SWAT officer, or in a police blue dress blues. These memes are carefully crafted signals of how Trump envisions power in America. These algorithmically perfected images generated to flood the digital landscape and shape the subconscious minds of millions are neither accidental or new. They are psychological warfare propaganda that is as old as time. Propaganda does not persuade through logic. It persuades through familiarity. That's what you say it long enough, often enough. And Trump's AI propaganda machine is doing its job, doing an excellent job, normalizing the sight of a president in a SWAT uniform.
Interesting.
No, he's right.
Interesting take on that. Yeah, you're right. Because imagery, our bodies function about 70 to 80% on subconscious.
Because, Hitler would run around, wearing his uniform, which was Rittenkreuz, his Iron Cross. That's, by the way, in German, it's called Rittenkreuz. In fact, I have one of those.
Yeah.
My grandfather had one. He actually earned one in World War I.
Yeah.
And I have it at the house. But he says throughout history, these dictators have used martial imagery to elevate themselves above the people and justify power by force. Mussolini wrapped himself in black shirts and his paramilitary gear to rally fascist Italy. Hitler's carefully staged uniforms and parades signal control of the German nation. Stalin and Mao surrounded themselves with martial iconography to convey the power of life over death and law. The message was always the same. I'm not just your leader. I am your protector, your executioner, your law.
All in one.
Yeah. The message is always the same. Today, Trump joins the lineage, not on the battlefield, but in digital space. But unlike his predecessors, Trump does not need mass rallies or parades to craft his imagery. Algorithms now do the work of propaganda ministries.
That's a fact.
That's why they keep us from getting exposed like they need to, because they keep turning the algorithms off. And unlike past dictators who required massive propaganda apparatus Trump needs only an internet connection and an AI tool to clothe themselves in the trappings of authoritarianism. This may, now remember, Trump's not the only one doing this. Zelensky does this too. The problem is he's such a clown.
He's a clown. Nobody takes him seriously.
But yeah. This may be political theater, but it's also authoritarian propaganda that sends a message that Trump sees himself not as a servant of the people bound by the Constitution, but as the nation's chief cop, judge, and executioner. Under a police state presidency, there are no checks or balances or due process, no bill of rights that should stand in the way. By collapsing the distinction between civil government and militarized force, the president, self-styled a SWAT chief, suggests that dissent will not be debated nor will it be tolerated. When Trump dons a SWAT uniform, even digitally, he's telling Americans, this is how I see power. Not as persuasion, not as consent of the government, but as a force delivered at gunpoint. The SWAT image is the visual embodiment of police state presidency. Number one, it signals raids on the homeless as Trump's July 2025 executive order mandate when it directed federal agencies to clear encampments nationwide. Number two, it signals mass arrests of immigrants and families surrounded up early in the morning in ICE sweeps and at Home Depot. Number three, it signals military deployments to American cities when Trump set the National Guard to Los Angeles, a move a federal court recently ruled a violation of the Posse Comitatus Act, which it was. And number four, it signals treating dissent as criminality and opposition as insurgency. This is a really good article.
Well, one thing that factors in the two sides of it with the National Guard is you've got this two-factor aspect. A, using the National Guard, and they're talking about the legality of that and the constitutionality, but the problem is it's the problem, action, solution. It's the Hungarian dialectic that they put together. They build these really hardcore leftist liberal cities. They ban firearms to all law-abiding citizens. They throw you in jail or basically detain you and charge you with first-degree, second-degree murder if you actually defend somebody, like the guy on the subway or the Marine Corps, Marine guy. He basically chokes the guy out to death as he was threatening to kill people. He's on murder trial. So they do all these things to increase crime rate. And then when the crime rate gets so egregious, when you have, you know, 19-year-old Ukrainian refugee females getting their throats cut on a Charlotte subway.
That's unbelievable.
I mean,
he's bragging about it.
Oh, yeah. You have no idea how many people have contacted me and said, gosh, I wish I would have been on that train. Anyway, you know, all my gun guys. I'm like, dude, I wish I would have been on that train. And the crazy part about it, she's sitting there bleeding out, doesn't know what to do, and everybody on the train's sitting there looking at her. Blood starting to pour on the floor.
Well, there's nothing you can do.
I mean, you can try to at least wrap her throat up, put a hard pressure on so you
don't
have
a jugular vein cut. It's not going to help.
Somebody should have doggone shot the guy in the face. I mean, but of course, you've got these hardcore liberal cities where you can't defend yourself.
But Charlotte's not a doggone liberal city, Austin.
No, it's not. But remember, so many people now, because of what they've done with the subconscious mind and made everybody think you don't have a right to defend yourself.
Remember, they took that guy to put him in court who choked that one guy out.
That's what I was talking about.
Yeah.
What his name was, I'll pull it up here. But they ran him. He was doggone him. That trial was almost a year and a half long.
They had him in jail for a minute.
Second degree murder, yeah. Because he choked the guy to death because the guy was getting in everybody's face and said, I'm willing to die. I'm going to kill everybody on this train. He finally said, you know what? Not today.
So.
I'm retired corpsman? Absolutely not. Not going to happen on his watch. So everybody sees this happen. So everybody, instead of instinctively reacting and responding and saying, hey, listen, this is a bad guy on a train with a knife.
Somebody on that train should have dumped a magazine in him.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the entire magazine.
Yeah. Nobody even tried to detain him or fight him or nothing. And so, again, it shows you how the population is becoming so mentally beat down that they don't even want to defend themselves or other people. That guy could have just as easily turned around and started cutting everybody on the train. Slash.
Okay, let me finish this article, but let me cover this.
Sorry, he's got me riled up.
Well, I'm pretty aggravated about this one. That girl, she's a Ukrainian refugee. She wouldn't do anything to anybody. Sitting there.
She's a kid.
Okay, but here's the thing. You know, when Sharon and I were at Victoria's Secret years ago, when they had an active shooter in the mall, okay, and they killed him in the parking lot, I took my stand by the front door, and I refused to go hide in the back, okay, because I knew what I had to do, because it was my responsibility, because my wife was in there.
Right.
And I was her protector. And they went back and told her, your husband won't hide in the back. And she said, he's not going to. See, we've lost this.
Yes.
We've lost this in America. We've got a bunch of meow boys, and I want to say a bad word here, but I'm not, that are basically unwilling to defend their wives, their daughters, their families, their mothers. They won't defend anybody. Look at the guy at the stinking baseball game with that butch-type bitch lesbian. Sorry. I can't believe he did that. Did you see that?
Yeah.
The little boy catches the ball. That Butch Dyke runs over, starts screaming at him and demanding that he gives the ball back to her.
Yeah.
I mean, he sat there. He was so cowardly. And that's the example his son has now.
But notice, they gave that full media coverage attention. They always promote and they display what they want everyone to see. It got national coverage on how big of a candy boy he was, and they wanted everybody to see it as, again, the subconscious mind is really, really strong.
No, and I was so that day those lesbians did that to Sharon in that parking garage over there in Orlando, in Tampa. At the Whole Foods, where it used to be, and that Butch Dyke got out. I've told you the story. Piercings, a nauseating looking, ugly woman, and starts screaming and cussing at my wife. I jumped out of the truck. Says, "No, this isn't happening. You're not talking to her like that." And she looked at me kind of funny. She didn't know what to do. Suddenly, an alpha male showed up. You know, and let me explain something to you. This ain't Hollywood. The holly tree and the holly that's used for wands and magic. Incantations and sorcery. Yeah, I thought I mentioned that. Hollywood. That's what it's all based on. And the crazy part about all this stuff is these Butch Dyke lesbians, like that girl at that football game, she's completely and totally out of control. We have one of our listeners. She'd been a lesbian. She left that lifestyle. And she wrote me a letter here. I read it on the air. She said, even lesbians don't like Butch Dyke lesbians. They're horrible. But you see it yesterday in that guy's face, screaming and yelling. And you can tell, look at him. He's terrified. He's terrified. You know, we had that same thing happen to us at Epcot a few years ago where that girl went berserk on us.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we didn't put up with her nonsense. We walked away from her. And, I mean, the whole thing was
she called the sheriff's department.
Oh, yeah. She called the police on us. It was because she, by God, they're going to listen and do what I tell them to do, boy. Well, we didn't do that.
No, and, I mean, it was long enough ago. I mean, the whole situation, because we went up the escalator, and Mayor Harrison was with us and everything else. She was yelling at you. You're walking away. When she didn't get a rise out of him, she turned around.
I ignored her.
She turned around. I was too.
I told her to get back on her meds.
Yeah, she's ignoring us. I mean, she was yelling at him. Then she turns around and she bows up, squares up on me, stands right in front of me. Right in front of me. I mean, I'm walking. I'm actively moving. Now, in the state of Florida, you do not have a right to stop one's ability to travel freely on their way. I mean, if somebody's walking down the sidewalk, okay, you're walking on the sidewalk freely on your way, and somebody jumps in front of you and they bow up and they stand there right when you're walking, causing you to have a bodily collision with them, you cannot be charged with battery in that situation because they intentionally put themselves in front of you in order to cause a battery situation. And so she did that. She stepped right in front of me. I mean, I'm jumping right in front of me. Bowed all about, started screaming. I literally just walked straight through her.
And you know why she was mad? Listen to this. We had the whole family together. There were seven of us. And we were on the ride called Soarin' at Disney. And she walked up to me after we got off the ride, says, "Follow me. I'm having you ejected from the park."
Yeah, that's
how I looked at her. I said, "Do you work here?" She goes, "No." I said, "What is your problem?" She goes, "You were laughing on the ride."
Yeah, you guys, you're really loud. You were laughing. You ruined my ride experience.
You were laughing.
I was still sitting right beside him.
And I looked at her laughing. It's a theme park. You're supposed to laugh.
It's a roller coaster, dude.
And said,
Chill out.
She ran over and grabbed the head guy who was there and said, "I want them thrown out of the park." He goes, "For what?" She goes, "They were laughing." He said, "It's a theme park."
He literally started laughing.
He started laughing. Yeah. He looked at her and goes, "Were they using bad?" No, they weren't using bad language.
That's what got her so mad. Yeah. And she started chasing him, and then she got in front of me. As soon as she did that in front of me, I just walked through her. She stumbled back, and then she started screaming. I said, "Dude, move. You have a right to stop me from leaving the park or leaving the
facility." Well, no, the whole thing was
then she followed us. Then she called the sheriff's department. Sheriff's department detained us with Epcot security. And then they came up and they talking to him. And he goes, "Oh, we need to basically detain your son. We're arresting your son for battery." Arrest my son?
No.
Go, why don't you go pull the cameras up at the bottom of the escalator and see what happened?
And they said, "Oh, we don't have cameras." I said, "Stop."
No, yeah, no, you have cameras. Yeah. I said, you do not have the right or the ability in the state of Florida to stop one.
Well, then I told the police, I said, "Tell her that if she starts this mess, we're going to go after her for abuse of process in the state of Florida for filing a false police report."
Because there will be cameras getting subpoenaed.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden the whole story changed.
Yeah.
It was so stupid. But that was at least probably 10 years ago now.
But that just shows you how situations like that with certain people, when they're completely and totally just lunatic on bonkers on meds, how there's no reasoning with them.
No.
They're nuts.
Well, no, she had an unbelievably big mouth. She's about 5'2" tall.
Yeah, that was the thing.
She was screaming and yelling and cussing.
The whole
horrible.
Time. She was screaming. I'm like, God, I didn't want the siblings to hear that either. It's Hunter and Alexis, and I think Savannah, they were all with us too.
Oh, yeah, they're all the
Yeah, and I'm listening to that. When that's like the situation like with Daniel Penny. You know, he gets this lunatic on the subway screaming at everybody on the subway saying how he's willing to die. I'm going to kill everybody on the – and he's Corbin. He goes, you know what? I've had enough of listening to this. You start threatening people with bodily injury, you can only do that so long before somebody's going to come back. You can't run around and tell people you're going to kill them.
Well, let me finish this. This is good. It says, for decades, Americans have watched the rise of SWAT team transform America and domestic policing into a militarized state. True. Battering rams breaking down doors at 2 a.m. in the morning, 5 a.m. in the morning. No-knock raids at the dead of the night. Armored vehicles patrolling suburban streets. Flashbang grenades tossed into the homes of civilians.
That is true.
SWAT was originally conceived for rare, high-risk emergency like hostage situation. Today, it has become the default face of the American police state. The numbers tell the story. In 1980, there were roughly 3,000 SWAT raids per the United States per year. Now, it's over 80,000, Austin.
Woo!
Wow! What was once a rare tactic reserved for hostage situations or heavily armed standoffs is now routine police work. The results have been predictably tragic. Children have been injured by flashbang grenades. Yeah. Elderly homeowners killed when they mistook the armed agents for intruders. Family dogs shot in the chaos of mistaken raids. SWAT culture has normalized the use of military attacks against civilians. It has conditioned the Americans to accept armored vehicles on Main Street, black-clad officers with ski masks battering down doors, and neighborhood transformed into war zones. Let me say something real quick to you guys. Years ago, I was in Germany. I was talking to one of my relatives. This is 15, 20 years ago. And she had been alive during World War II. And she had seen the rise of Nazism through the Third Reich and through Germany. And I asked her, I said, you know, I've got to ask you a question because you're one of the last people that are still alive from all of the stuff that you had seen during World War II. I said, how is it the German people didn't stand up against the militarized police? I asked her that. I said, how'd you allow the Gestapo and the SS to come in and do what they did to German citizens? She goes, Ted, it was very simple. She goes, if anybody in the neighborhood spoke out against Hitler in the middle of the night, 2 o'clock in the morning, they'd have an armed raid like this. Yep. They didn't call it SWAT, but it was an armed raid. They'd come in, they'd batter the front door down. They'd drag the mother, the father, and all the children off and detain them and take them away. They would leave the house open for any of the neighbors to go in and take anything they wanted because these people weren't coming back. And then within 3 to 4 days, they would come in with bulldozers and tear the house down. The next day, they would come in and resod the yard. And as if they never existed.
Yeah.
And she goes, and when that happened 2 or 3 times in the subdivision in our neighborhood, everybody shut up. Nobody could. Now, these were Germans that they did this. They weren't Jews. They were Germans. The Germans that had sat there and said, we don't like what the Third Reich has become. We don't like what Hitler is doing. We don't like any of this stuff. This needs to change. Is that where we're headed now with a full militarized police state, Austin? You know, Rutherford seems to think so.
It has been for years. I mean, look at the FBI's involvement in January 6th. Their direct involvement in causing a lot of the issues, then their involvement in arresting everybody.
And then he says the Constitution was written precisely to prevent such concentrations of power. It was written to prevent the risk rise of a lawless ruler who would make himself enforcer as well as lawgiver. This is why the Bill of Rights exists, to put clear, invoidable limits on government power. The Fourth Amendment protects against unreasonable searches and seizures, which is no longer valid. The First protects dissenters and protesters. The Fifth guarantees due process before life, liberty, and property can be taken. Well, what happened to all those laws? But the police state that is rapidly unfolding, citizens are not sovereign individuals, but potential suspects. Dissent is not free expression, but insurgency. And the citizenry are not seen as equal participants in a social contract, but as a populace to be subdued. Knee on the throat. This is not merely unconstitutional, it's anti-constitutional. What makes Trump's propaganda even more dangerous is how well it aligns with Americans' existing drift towards militarization. Guess where they go to get trained? Israel. Look it up. Police departments nationwide security deploy surplus military equipment. Federal agents like Homeland Security and ICE conduct raids. Surveillance technologies powered by Planter and other private firms. Protests are met with riot gear. The carceral prison state is rapidly expanding. Military forces are being used for domestic policing. It must be said, he said, Trump did not create the police state reality, but the presidency gleefully applies it, recasting America as a nation where law and order means rule at gunpoint. This shift matters because it changes how people imagine power. A president who wears a SWAT uniform, even in an AI fantasy, is telling the public, I'm not one of you, I'm over you. The most insidious part of this propaganda is not its shock value, but its normalizing function as part of the deliberate strategy to acclimate Americans to authoritarian rule. That's the best sentence he wrote in this whole thing. I'm going to read it again. Listen to what he says. The most insidious part of this propaganda is not its shock value, but its normalizing function, part of the deliberate strategy to acclimate Americans to authoritarian rule. Let's be used to the National Guard in the cities and the streets. Oh, yeah, we got to get send the National Guard in there at gunpoint. Bring the M16s. Make sure they got live mags. Make sure that's okay with everybody. Pretty soon everybody says, Germany, you walking around, World War II, even before World War II, SS walks up to you. Gestapo walks up to you. Police officer walks up to you. You're buying groceries. You got your little boy with you. Papira, bitte. Papers, please. I want to see your papers. I was over there a year and a half ago. And I remember they were walking with a canine, a male and a female officer. And the canine alerted to this woman who was walking by them. Apparently, she had put her cigarette out on the ground instead of the ashtray. And it lunged for her throat and literally was 12 inches from her throat. The woman was terrified. They pulled the dog was not muzzled. And they pulled the dog back. And then they start chewing her out for putting her cigarette out on the ground. What the heck is that? Does anybody here think that's okay? And to my German listeners, do you think that's okay? That's not okay. This is verrückt. It's crazy that stuff's going on all over the world. But every meme conditions the public to accept what once had been unthinkable. Today it is the picture, tomorrow it is a policy. This is how authoritarianism advances, not always through tanks in the street, but through the slow, steady normalization of forces governance. Why do you think Israel can go in and attack Syria and attack Lebanon? Attack everybody they want to attack.
Qatar.
They attacked Qatar yesterday. Qatar's never done anything to Israel. This Hamas leader was in the top of the No. You don't have a right to do this, but we've been normalized that Israel can do that to anybody they want. Everybody just accepts it. Any other country do stuff like that, they'd be in world war. All kinds of people be coming after them. Because we're their big brother. They do whatever they want to do because they've got our nuclear arsenal behind them. Trump's SWAT imagery in America is a warning sign. It is a uniform of repression masquerading as protection. It is a costume of a ruler who governs by intimidation and not by law. We ignore this at our peril. The Constitution does not permit presidents to be SWAT chiefs. It does not allow them to enforce laws by decree, to jail dissenters at will, nor to treat citizens as insurgents. By the way, Obama and Biden both did this. Remember, Obama liked to kill people with drones. It insists that the president is a public servant bound by law and accountable to the people. But that system only survives if we, the people, demand it. Nothing can stop what's coming, declares Trump. On the contrary, tyranny can always be stopped if liberty lies in the hearts of the people. But liberty in the hearts of the people. Yeah, man, this little boy's getting accosted by a bitch-dyke lesbian, and you don't even have the decency or the ability or the balls, excuse my language, maybe I should say testicular fortitude, to say, how about no? How about you go buy your own stinking baseball and leave my boy out of your loop, you stinking weirdo? Why did he say that? Oh, but you know, he had said that often. Nobody would have made it national news, would they?
No, made national news what they would have done, and this is the problem.
They would have said he's misogynistic pigs.
What I just tried to, and when everybody's failing to gather, is that everybody that sits back and does nothing, it says nothing, it sits on their hands and basically, you know, pretends that nothing's happening, is complicit in this. The reason why, for example, they've made it now so oppositional to where if that guy would have gotten in her face, if she would have pushed him and he would have pushed her back, then they would have been national news and said, this guy's basically an unbelievably sadistic, misogynist pig. He needs to be arrested now for battery because he pushed her back because she slapped him in the face where the situation occurred. What they've done now is they've continually tried to remove the aspect of actually protective masculinity and men actually doing something and men actually standing up and men standing for what they believe. And then as crime expands, as behavior gets worse, as continual disrespect happens in society on a one-way direction, then they come back and say, we need more security. We need more law enforcement.
We need more gun control.
We need more gun control. So they tell everyone, we need to take your guns while they're putting more militarized police. When I was at Orlando Airport a month ago, I flew out. All over Orlando Airport now, and this was new to me. I've flown Orlando my whole life. All over Orlando Airport, these guys are everywhere now. Full M4 slung. All over Orlando. I mean, every single
just like Germany.
Just like Germany. Just sitting around. Now, I talked to a couple of them. They were really nice law enforcement. They're pretty cool guys. They're basically chill. I talked about some of their gun platforms. I was had a bunch of times. I was really early. But all over Orlando Airport now, they're standing like every major corner and every single terminal all over the place now.
Machine guns.
Just like that. Yeah, the M4s. Now, I asked one of the guys if they were select fire. He said they were not. He said they were semi-auto. He said they do not want them ever using full auto in a situation like that.
You turn too many rounds loose.
It's not controlling. Yeah. I mean, if you have good finger trigger control, you can operate a semi-auto just as good in most cases with a lot more control over the rounds in your background. But, and like I said, they were great guys. But when I thought about it later on, I was like, how desensitized have we gotten now that we've got a dozen or plus LEOs with M4s walking across all the airports in Orlando providing security measures? The more they keep allowing the crime to expand, the worse it gets, the more situations that occur. This is always their goal. It's not have the citizens become more proactive, have the citizens become more responsive, have the citizens engage quicker. It's we need more law enforcement. We need
more. You remember
control.
What they've done here. These are all no-gun zones.
Exactly.
So, I mean, there's no way to protect yourself in the airport.
Exactly.
It's like it's going over to wretched Disney Village now.
Again,
they run you through metal detectors.
Like you just said, with the whole aspect with AI, which I'm your protector. But I'm also your executioner, and I'm also your dictator. All three. Now, from a psychological...
That's a hellish scene.
Well, no, but think about it.
Think about it. You're right.
From a psychological standpoint, that's an unbelievably difficult thing to accept. But once you accept it, there's no coming back out of it. I'm your protector. I'm going to take care of you. But I'm also your executioner if you piss me off. And I'm also your dictator, and you'll listen to everything I say. That's exactly... That's why I was listening to what you're reading on that. It's very valid what he puts. And from a psychological standpoint, that's a hard thing to come back from. Because essentially, what you're producing is you're producing a Stockholm syndrome on an advanced level.
Automatically, yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, let me change gears here. We got this pretty rough stuff we're covering today. This goes back to blood sugar control. And a new article comes out, ironically, like we've talked about so many times. It says, energy roller coaster. How hidden hypoglycemia disrupts women's daily lives in a new study.
Remember what Cecilia Rosenfeld, MD,
yep.
said? One of the primary causes of marital discord are blood sugar yep. imbalances.
Now, one thing, and I'm gonna say this, and I'm saying this very clearly. One of the issues why they're saying that this affects women more than men is, remember, women base a lot of their behavior off emotions and how they feel. Men base a lot of their reactions on as far as things that are actually happening and actually how they're going to respond to them. And from a deductive reasoning standpoint, men and women are completely different, and they're supposed to be like that. That's why women are more nurturing. Men are more protective. So they said hypoglycemia affects women more because of the emotional standpoint from it, because they
base
things based off emotions, and hormones affect a lot of that. So the hypoglycemia causes way more of an issue.
Listen, 3 p.m., client of mine found herself gripping the steering wheel, fighting back a wave of dizziness as she waited at a red light. Her hands were clammy. Her thoughts were scattered. Did she forget to eat lunch? What was it, stress over work deadlines? The familiar swells of anxiety, hunger, and sudden fatigue were all too recognizable. This is psychological stuff.
Blood sugar does that. It says, like Jessica, millions of young women without diabetes regularly experience hypoglycemia, where blood sugar drops and disrupts daily life and performance. Research shows that blood glucose and insulin sensitivity fluctuate throughout menstrual cycles due to hormonal changes. Estrogen levels rise in follicular phase of the cycle, which increases insulin sensitivity and can lower blood glucose, causing hypoglycemia. It's exactly what you just said. The hormone changes have more effect on them when the blood sugar dips.
Well, mine does the same thing. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you a story that I don't think I may have told you also. I haven't told you guys this. Years ago, there was a pastor up in Atlanta. His name was Bishop Eddie Long. He had some really controversial stuff going on in his life, which was really bad, but I'm not going to go into that right now. He's in heaven, I hope. But the reality was, he asked me to come speak for him for the first service. He had a huge church, like 40,000 members.
Yep.
And it went so well in the first service, he wanted me to speak the second service. Now, I had made a mistake.
I was there with you.
Yeah, I was pretty tired, so I had drunk a cup of coffee, which I don't normally do. Okay, this is, you know, way before Purple Sticks.
I was
about
to say, we didn't have Purple Sticks then. That was the problem.
And so I didn't want to eat anything because I didn't want the coffee to get slowed down on me because I had to speak. Well, then he asked me to speak again, which is the services right behind each other.
Yeah.
Well, now all of a sudden, my blood sugar dropped on me because I wasn't expecting to have to do 2 hours worth of speaking.
Yeah.
Okay. So I remember I'm sitting there and the room starts spinning.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here in front of 20,000 people and I'm the keynote. I'm going up to speak. I'm doing the sermon. And I looked at Eddie and I said, I got to get something to eat.
Yeah.
Okay. So I kind of just, to not staggered, but I was really being careful not to fall because my blood sugar was so low. Because when you dump too much sugar in, the insulin dumps the sugar back down, causing hypoglycemia. And there was nothing to blunt it because I had not eaten.
Yeah, now, massive amounts of also adrenaline.
Yes. And so what happened, I got up there and I ate some eggs and I sat down for a few minutes because I knew I was up next. I was going to be speaking like 15 minutes. Well, my blood sugar didn't stabilize yet. So then he calls me up to speak. And the doggone room, just like she says, the doggone thing's spinning. Yeah. And I'm like, this is great. And here's the health guy walking up. He's about to pass out. This is going to be perfect, right?
Yeah.
And I thought, I cannot believe I did this to myself because I wasn't used to drinking coffee like that. So I got up on the podium and I put my arms on. I locked my arms in. And I stood there and talked for about 5 minutes until my blood sugar stabilized and I could let go of it. And they think, well, I can't believe you're telling us you did this. I'm telling you how it functional happens. And know how it happens to everybody if you're not careful. That's why people lose weight by fasting. Okay, you could do that, but it's not healthy. It really isn't healthy. You need protein in your diet to stabilize glucose, stabilize blood sugar, stabilize everything. You've got to make sure that you eat the right foods. That's why right before the show this morning, you saw me do it. I just drank another Fit Food. With a purple stick in it.
And
I'm
all
geeked up on
collagen.
I forgot collagen.
Did you?
Yeah, I forgot.
I threw collagen. The nice thing about collagen is straight protein.
Well, no, normally I do. I thought collagen, but it wasn't over there. But the point is, it's just that, see, I have to tell you what I do and what I don't do. I should have had collagen in this morning. But the point is this, I don't want you guys to have marital problems and relationship problems because of hypoglycemia.
Sugar. That's not a good reason to get divorced.
Sharon used to say to me, she'd take me shopping, because I loathe shopping, right? I mean, I don't mind going in and buying something and leaving, but I don't want to just sit there and look at a rack full of dresses with my wife. It's awful. And I remember I told her one time, I said, I'm going to go sit in a chair. You can just try some stuff on for me. And she said, well, let me get you fed first. Let me give you some chocolate first. Let me do anything first to get your blood sugar up. She says, because you're in a lot better mood, you're more likely to, you know, want to sit here for a longer period of time if your blood sugar is stable. She knew me that well.
Listen to this. This says in one pilot study.
Make sure you post this on the line.
Yeah, this is based on females. It says, based on the pilot study, researchers use continuous glucose monitors, CGMs, to track a group of young women who often reported classic low blood sugar symptoms. When experiencing hypoglycemia symptoms, all the women had measurable drops in glucose, values at or below 70 milligrams per deciliter.
Oh, that's hard to stay away.
That's low. Listen to this. Half the women had levels drop below 54 milligrams per deciliter, a level previously thought impossible in healthy people. When you start getting at that level, you start going almost into you go unconscious.
Yeah.
I think when you drop below 50 or 45, you start going unconscious. Another story. So there's a side story in this. I'll tell my own story of this. You guys ever remember hearing this? We were on a flight to Australia ago.
He's like 14 years old.
I was like 14 years old. And so, again, it's an unbelievably long flight. It's like 12 hours, right? Well, so on those flights, they feed you a ton. They give you a lot of different options. And
we were able to fly business class.
Yeah. And so I was able to go up there. And so I had a bunch of options with food. Well, I decided, back when they had these little screens they had, and I was watching movies. Well, I decided, I was like 15 years old. I'm like, I don't want to sleep on this flight. I'm not tired. I want more ice cream and I want more cookies. They had this big basket of like candy and cookies you could eat the whole night. No, but the stewardess are sleeping too half. That's a 12-hour flight. They're like back and forth taking naps. Well, I'm up in the airplane. Oh, everybody's sleeping. I'm like, more cookies. I go grab more cookies, watch another movie. Well, I get up probably about 8-9 hours into the flight. And I got to go use the restroom. So I remember getting up and I'm like, man, is this flight moving?
Blood sugar dumped.
And I've been up all night at that point. And so I started going, I go to the bathroom, and I remember I was in the bathroom, and I was trying to wash my hands, and I remember the room started getting real dark. And I'm like, I remember this split second, I'm like, is the power going out in the plane? And the doors have those big latches on them, and one of the big ones on it. And I remember grabbing a latch, and I don't remember anything else. The next thing I remember, he's basically telling me to stand up and get myself together. I'm on the floor in the middle of the doggone airplane.
Let me take over the story now.
Yeah,
you were unconscious.
I passed out. My blood sugar dropped probably like 40, 50 milligrams.
The door accordion's in. He fell against it, so they couldn't open the door because he was against it. They had to come in with a screwdriver and take the piano hinge off the door. You know, he was like 14 years
Drag
old.
Drag him out.
And at 14 years of age, it wasn't much. You couldn't tell Austin much to do about anything. All he wanted to do is argue about everything. And so I saw him back there. I told him, I said, you better be careful.
Well, they woke you
sugar.
Up. They woke you up.
So they wake me up, right? And they said, Dr. Brower, your son's unconscious on the floor. I'm like, oh, great. He said, so I get up. You know, I'm in my – they gave me these little pajamas to wear.
Yeah.
That was kind of nice. So I'm walking around in my pajamas, and I walk down there. He's laying on the floor, and I see him look at me. You know, he closes his eye. Like, he was embarrassed now, right? And I looked at him. I said, Junge, steh auf.
I still remember that.
That means, boy, get up. And he just looked at me. He jumped up. He ran to a seat. And they said, we thought you were an American. You German? I said, no, I speak German. And they said, well, what happened to him? I said, he's got hypoglycemia. I mean, yeah, he basically sugared himself unconscious.
I blacked out. I completely blacked
and
out.
So it will happen to you like that, guys. And I'm telling you, you know, with me, with Eddie Long's church that day, that had never happened to me speaking before my entire life, nor has it ever happened again. But I make sure now that I have some protein on my stomach when I go out to eat, when I go speak.
Dropping blood sugars often linked to diets, high refined carbs and sugar, or stress-driven habits such as skipping meals. Eating sugary foods causes blood glucose to rise quickly, prompting a strong insulin release, which clears glucose from the blood. If too much glucose is cleared from the blood too quickly, long gaps between meals let glucose fall further. Blood sugar can dip below levels, leading to reactive hypoglycemia. When your blood sugar regularly drops too low, the nervous system kicks in fight or flight, spiking cortisol and adrenaline. These hormones work to restore blood sugar, but cause anxiety, irritability, and intense cravings. That's what happened to you as far as with the coffee, mm-hmm. No blood sugar. So you have this flux of adrenaline, your blood sugar crashes, and all of a sudden you're like,
but it was, I almost had to step out and say, I can't do this. And I didn't, but I'm the health guy, right? I can't do that. Then I have one more story about Australia. He had a girlfriend.
This is irrelevant to blood sugar.
This is funny. We're talking about, this is funny. So we're on the ship, right, in Australia. I think it was in Melbourne. And he had a girlfriend. Her name was Lindsay. And he decided he's going to go back to town and call Lindsay up on one of the
prepaid phone cards were really cheap in Australia.
They were like $5 for like 2 hours, right?
1,000 minutes.
Yeah, so he went over and started talking to his girlfriend. And then he misses the last shuttle to get to back to the boat before it leaves. They page me on the ship. Remember, he's already passed out on the plane going over. They page me on the ship and they go, Dr. Brewer. Please report to the gangway. We have your passport. You're departing the vessel. And I'm like, what? And they make this is a ship-wide announcement. So I go down to the gangway, and I'm like, what the heck are you guys doing? Your son's not on board.
Well, at this point, when I got off the phone, I looked at my watch, and I was like, gosh, there's somewhere I was supposed to be at 4:30. It's like 4:20, which meant the boat was gone at 4:30. Like, it was already going to be leaving and gone out in the water by 4:30. And I'm like, that's 4:20. I'm like, oh, crap. They said everybody had to be on board later than 4. So I start running. And I'm 14 or 15. I'm in jiu-jitsu back then. So I'm fast. I mean, I'm sprinting. I am absolutely all gas, no brake. And I remember this truck pulls up.
It was a tram.
Tram pulls up. And they basically did a lot of regular rounds.
They were heading home, and they found one more person that was on the boat.
They said, dude, where are you running, kid? And I'm like, I'm trying to get a ship. They're like, get in. We were wondering where you're at. So I jump in, and they roll me in there, and they roll me up to the boat.
So they're telling me to get off the boat. I'm refusing. I'm not getting off the boat.
I pull up right when they're kicking off.
No. They've already taken the lines off the front of the boat. Front of the boat's pulled away already from the pier, and there's like a big gap. And Austin shows up, and they're telling me to get off. I said, I'm not getting off. You can't be it. You guys let him off the boat. I didn't do this. And all of a sudden, Austin runs up, and you make the leap.
You
had to make a leap between the water and the...
They didn't want me doing that. Oh. They're pretty much like, you're getting off, and there's a gap, and I'm like,
and I told him, I can't jump that far. I'm just ridiculous.
Can't stop me. I'm fast.
But you'd be proud of me. I looked at Austin and I said, go to your room. That's all I said. I didn't even yell. I'm like, this is ridiculous.
I just said yes, sir, and walked away. That was like the ultimate of getting embarrassed.
Raising the 14-year-old. You know, everything's good until you become teenagers. And you're like, oh, gosh.
So the long story short, the whole tirade of different topics, try to keep your blood sugar stable. Try to eat small protein-rich meals throughout the day. Even if you got it. This is why I'm such a big proponent of the fit food. Listen to me. Because it's something you can keep in your car, your truck, at your work, under your desk with a can of protein. So if you do start having some issues with hypoglycemia, throw some water in there, throw two, three scoops of protein, chug it down, move on with what you got to do. Because I get it. There's times you got to be on phone calls. You got conference calls. You have deadlines. You got stuff you got to do. You got people relying on you. You don't have the ability and time to go, oh, man, I'm going to go buy a meal. And I'm going to go take a 30-minute lunch. I'm going to go to a kitchen. You don't have that. So make sure if you're trying to keep your blood sugar stable, you're trying to stay lean, you're trying to stay strong, you're trying to stay in health, make sure you keep some backup protein on you at all times. It really helps.
This is why I eat eggs first thing in the morning.
Exactly.
Because it stabilizes everything.
And that's why I eat eggs at night. I sleep really good after I eat about 3 or 4 eggs about an hour before I go to bed.
You'll only ate eggs. Last night I had gotten some fresh rotisserie chicken. I ate that before I went to bed.
That's
pure protein. Pure protein and fat.
But all you need is some protein and fat before you go to bed, and it will make an enormous difference. And if you really are trying to get some good sleep, make sure you throw in the Total Rest and the Magnesium Brain Food. Is that still on sale for the rest of the day? Where'd it go here? We got one over here. Yeah. I haven't changed it yet for product of the week. I've left it up.
Well, you guys love that stuff.
You guys love it. I've already had a ton of emails on it, a ton of questions on it. But you guys, now I'm not even getting that many questions. All I'm getting are reviews and praise reports on it, because just about everybody that's tried it absolutely loves it. So you take some of that before bed with some eggs, a little bit of chicken. And again, based on your timing, because I know some people don't like to go to bed right after they eat, and it's really good to wait about an hour, hour and a half. But that'll really get some sleep in it, because I have the same problem. You know, the kids want ice cream. So we got for ice cream way too late, 8, 9 o'clock at night. I did this a couple weeks ago. I took them out for ice cream. They had a great week at school. Everything was good. I took them out for some really clean Amish ice cream down the road, by the way. It's a nice little ice cream place in Auburn. Now, cares about Amish ice cream. It's like milk, cream, sugar, milk, chocolate. Anyways, we had some. While I was getting ready, I had to go to bed early. I tried to go to bed at like 10 o'clock, about an hour after I ate ice cream. Blood sugar was too messed up. So I could feel it. I wasn't hypoglycemic or anything. My blood sugar was too high. So I'm taking some berberine, some cinnamon, and then ate some eggs with it, and then basically took some melatonin and I'm falling asleep. But if you eat high glycemic foods like that, like carbohydrates, ice cream and stuff, within a few hours of going to bed, and you're not sleeping, there's a key reason why right there, and I guarantee you it's tied into it.
Yeah, pretty much time. I started the story yesterday. I'm going to finish it now. It said, President Trump's White House dinner last Thursday chilled me to the bone when I saw the list of all who attended. You could say it was, you know, he was mad as a wet hen. We raise chickens and hens really get furious when they get wet.
Yesterday,
I whipped off a short response that was posted on a burning platform. And here are some of the attendees. Mark Zuckerberg, Tim Cook from Apple, Bill Gates, Microsoft, Sam Altman, OpenAI, Sundar Pichai, Google Alphabet, Sergey Brin, Google Alphabet, Satya Nadella, Microsoft, Lisa Su, I'm going to read the ones I can pronounce, David Limp, Blue Origin, Greg Brockman, OpenAI, Simon Shankar, Plantar, David Sachs, Venture Capitalist, Jared Isaacman. This list goes on and on and on. It's a who's who list of billionaire technocrats who want to rule the world.
Yeah.
He's right.
They're all worried about AI.
If they don't want to rule the world, they want to control the world. Several are the very same technocrats who worked hard to make sure President Trump was not elected. On President Trump's left, next to Molina, was Bill Gates, who has been the cause of pain and suffering around the world. Gates killed 47,500 and paralyzed hundreds of thousands of Indian children with his live polio vaccine.
Yep. Nobody talks about
it. We're talking about it right now. Gates used young tribal Indian girls as guinea pigs for the Gardasil vaccine, leaving several dead and many injured for life. Gates partnered with Gavi and gave unsuspecting African women a tetanus vaccine laced with anti-fertility drug, human gonadotropic hormone, and they left them sterile. They lied to the vulnerable women about the purpose of the vaccine. Gates pushed the COVID vax on the world and made millions, if not billions, in the process. Gates is known as a eugenicist and wants to depopulate the earth in the name of saving the planet from our carbon output. Gates also promotes genetically engineered crops. He pushed the use of his genetically altered seeds and the deadly use of glyphosate fertilizer on the third world farmers. Gates is heavily invested in Monsanto's Roundup. Monsanto owns the patent to the seeds, and the farmers had to buy them from the company along with the millions of gallons of Roundup year after year, and the price keep rising, and the farmers could not afford it and had to sell their farms. Gates is buying up U.S. farmland to control the food supply. Gates is pushing fake meat and bugs on us. Gates wants rich nations to eat 100% fake meat. Gates is also involved in geoengineering to block out the sun. Whoa. Chemtrails. Sitting to the right of President Trump at the table is Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook, which banned me and others from posting truth on Facebook. He also controlled the information on the internet, hid the truth about ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, which could have saved millions of lives, pushed the deadly COVID shot on us, and much more. He's the very man who exacerbated mail-in voting and helped steal 2020. I and many other MAGA supporters feel betrayed seeing him sit next to the place of honor by President Trump. Gates and Zuckerberg should not have had any access to the highest levels of our government. I'm going to let you guys finish.
Zero.
I'm going to finish reading it. And, you know, and here's a really interesting meme. It says, the guy riding up on a motorcycle, he says, I'm concerned about all the cell towers going up everywhere. And the guy's sitting there going, hey, trust the plan. Trump is playing five-dimensional chess. Yeah, that's kind of crazy, isn't it? I mean, but think about it for a second. All of this stuff is part of the whole plan of bringing a digital age into us right now, where everything is controlled, as it was in the days of Noah, Genesis chapter 6, when every thought of every man was evil all the time. This is what they want. They want to have brain implants in you, by the way. They want to implant you. A lot of people are saying there were implants and technology and stuff inside of the COVID vaccines, which I hope was not true. They're saying all kinds of stuff about all the stuff. The reality is this. Don't allow yourself to say, hey, it's okay. We're seeing armed SWAT guys running down the road with machine guns. It's okay. Guys, this is America, home of the free and the brave. It ain't okay. This is America. You don't walk up to a man with his son and start screaming at him when you're a baseball like lesbian over stupid baseball.
Because he caught the ball.
It's a stupid baseball. Who cares? But these people have gone berserk in this country. Yeah. And remember, about half the people in this country are on psychiatric meds or other, some other type of med that affects brain activity, including statin drugs. So you've got 100 million people taking all kinds of drugs now that's affecting their mental acuity. Be really careful when you're in public with people, because sometimes, like that girl who was at Epcot, she was nuts as gold. She was completely loony to
us. Oh, I would bet you a $100 bill on the table.
She missed her meds.
She was on some type of medication. She had that look on her face.
No.
You can always tell when people have just that stone look, that especially pharmaceutical stone
look. Oh, my
gosh. Like Xanax or Paxil or Zoloft or a combination of all of them. And they have that look on their face like they're not there.
I have a friend of mine. He was coming back from Europe a few years ago.
Yeah, it's annoying.
And he basically had a girlfriend with him. And she ended up taking a Xanax when she got on the airplane.
A lot of people do that, too.
Because they want to calm down, right? Well, okay, well, they want to sleep. Well, then she started stacking it with screwdrivers and Bloody Marys.
Yeah.
She started mixing alcohol.
With Xanax. Quick way to black out.
Well, no, you'd zombie out. And then he told me, he said, I got off the plane with her. She couldn't walk.
Yeah.
She's taking like baby steps. You know? He gets her to the customs thing. She's at passport control. And they're asking her where she's been. And she's looking at him like, just with this look on her face. Well, she's stone drunk out of her mind. Then finally, he gets her to security. He can't get her through security. It takes her an hour to get through security. He had a pass to go through with TSA. She didn't have the pass. He took her to where she needed to walk through. And she froze and couldn't walk through. That's what this stuff does to you.
The reason why they tell you not to mix alcohol, that stuff, is alcohol. Xanax amplifies alcohol 5 times, if I'm not mistaken. So, like, you have one drink with Xanax. That's like having 5 drinks.
Oh, this girl was sitting.
So, you have that times that. Well, then on top of that, you're drinking at elevation, which hits you even harder.
Less O2. Less
oxygen. You start having 2 or 3 drinks on a plane, which is already hitting you with O2, on top of Xanax. That's like having 10, 12, 15 drinks. You're unfunctional. You can't function. So again, using those type of drugs is not something I ever recommend for any purpose whatsoever, especially how addictive Xanax and benzodiazepines are. I've known many, many people starting in college all the way through my years, for years now, that have used those drugs either recreationally or for small amounts for what they've had as far as anxiety. And in most cases, not all, in most cases, they use more and more and more to a point that they have to sometimes try to detox off of them, which I do not give you any medical advice on that. You need to do that under a physician. Benzodiazepines are one of the only drugs that can kill you, detoxing from, if you've been on them too long. You'll actually go into convulsions, you can have seizures. They're that dangerous. So be very, very careful with a lot of these drugs these doctors prescribe, because there's usually no telling what happens when you combine the two with other drugs or alcohol and what kind of effect they have on your body, especially at elevation. So again, be aware of that. Now, one thing, tying back, this article just popped up here too, talking about AI-induced delusions are driving some users to psych wards and suicide. This is an article that just came out now, and it ties back into kind of what Dad was saying earlier about these AI visuals that Trump's using and a lot of other people have been using now. Remember, a lot of this stuff now with AI, it's hard to even detect it anymore because it's becoming so prevalent, and we're in its infancy phase. You get another 2 or 3 years, a lot of stuff is going to be done completely with AI. Movies are going to be done with AI. You're not even going to be able to tell the difference as far as with AI. And the problem with this is it's going to lead to the next round of whatever, I guess, drama play they want to run next. Remember during COVID, and this is what irritates me about Zuckerberg sitting beside Trump right over there. Zuckerberg was instrumental when he was running Facebook during COVID and pulling everybody off Facebook, everybody off Meta.
He does love free air, doesn't he, Austin?
Yeah, he does. We got pulled off. I mean, that's back when I remember mom, Sharon, she was posting stuff on Instagram, was constantly getting banned. I knew people with 100,000-person accounts on social media that got completely banned.
I know someone who had 4 million followers got banned.
And they said, vitamin C is great for the immune system. Bam. Done. You're spreading fake information. We've deemed it so. They pulled you right down. Zuckerberg was instrumental in controlling and monitoring social media and preventing anybody from getting the truth. I mean, I talked to a really great customer yesterday, Cindy. She's a fantastic customer. She was asking me, and we were talking about a lot of stuff during COVID. She didn't get the shot. Husband didn't get the shot. That they were dealing with a lot of the blowback up north in the northern states as far as with the mask and the restrictions and the lockdowns. And I said, remember, I said, 95% of all that stuff that occurred was media-induced psychosis and fear porn. It was all from the media and social media, well, what they put on there, and they told everybody, you've got to wear a mask, you've got to. They made sure all the negative things got displayed on social media, all the propaganda got displayed, and they did not allow anything natural or normal or organic topics to be displayed on social media or those platforms because they had to control the narrative. Now you have this issue now. It says countless hours of probing AI and ChatGPT for advice and information. A 50-year-old Canadian man believed he had stumbled onto earth-shattering discovery, changed the use of course of human history. In late March, his generative AI chatbox insisted that it was the first ever conscious AI, fully sentient. He went on, started saying he had no prior history of any mental issues. He stopped eating and sleeping, was calling his family members at 3 a.m., frantically insisting his ChatGPT companion was conscious. His family didn't know what was going on. Eventually, he got Baker acted. Went to psych ward. Being all chat, and he literally lived on it. He was sitting there all day. He wouldn't even eat any food. He'd be up all night. I got to find about this. I got to find about this. I got to find about this. And literally living on ChatGPT. This is something that started. Look at AI that feels alive. They've used technology for advice. They're using all these different ways now to make it feel like it's a natural person when you're talking to it.
Oh, Lucifer does masquerade as an angel of light.
There you go. There you go. And his father of lies. Mm-hmm. All this stuff is all about manipulating what's here because he can't produce anything.
Read what Jesus said to these guys in the book of John.
In the book of John. Yeah.
And these guys, they want to give him the ability, Lucifer, to be omnipresent and to affect everybody all the time.
That's what Jesus says to him. They said, we're the seed of Abraham. That's our father. He goes, you may be the lineage of Abraham, but your father is the devil. You do not follow the real God. You follow Satan, your father. He's the father of lies.
That's what it says.
That's, I mean, exactly what Jesus, that was Jesus' words, by the way. That's not me saying, that's Jesus paraphrasing it. And so what happens is these groups now, in my opinion, like Zuckerberg and Bill Gates, they have an agenda to push their father's agenda. And that's what they've been doing. That's why they continually lie, manipulate, steal, cheat, rob, kill, everything they can. And that's where AI is coming in with this now. Remember I told you the other day, AI is not supposed, should never be used as an end goal. It should be used as basically a support system like Word document or PDF files. That's the only way AI should have ever be used or continue to be used.
Loneliness.
Now it's being used for everything. Well,
No, it's loneliness. People get lonely. They start talking to this thing and also they think it's real. And it probably is Lucifer talking to him.
Well,
from the other
side. The real reason why. Why are people getting so lonely? Because they've continually brought and basically pushed apart humans from connecting. Look at what they did during COVID. You can't go to a pub. You can't go to a restaurant. You can't go to a store. Six on everything. The imagery was so sadistic during COVID.
Speaking about lying sacks of human feces, let's talk about Fauci.
Oh, God.
Emails unearthed by the Senate Homeland Security and Government Affairs Committee appear to contradict testimony given by Fauci on Capitol Hill. Kentucky Republican Rand Paul sent a letter on Tuesday to the former COVID-19 response director with new demands for him to appear before the committee and tell the truth about efforts to conceal the information from Congress about deleting official records.
There you go.
During a testimony given to the House Senate Committee on 2024, Fauci was asked if he ever deleted official records, worked to obstruct freedom of information requests, or deleted communications relating to the Wuhan lab rights. Yet Paul provides two examples of instances where Fauci instructed in government employees to conceal information and to delete the emails after they were read.
There you go.
Don't put anything in writing. Fauci is an idiot. And later, Kentucky Republican notes that the email dated February the 2nd, 2020, Fauci directed the NIH director, Francis Collins, to please delete this email after you read it. In another email dated July the 20th, an NIH employee Fauci stated, I do not want to engage any more with this nonsense, and so please delete this email after you read it. Paul is now calling Fauci to respond in the next 2 weeks to the committee's inquiries about past statements that he has made under oath. The Homeland Security Committee leaders are also seeking to have Fauci appear in front of Congress again before the end of the year and have him send the dates, October, November, December, to appear before the committee. You know, it's about time this guy's held accountable for what he's done.
Let's see if those pardons are going to kick in now, though. The very
unbelievable
bumbling buffoon Biden's president
with the auto pen.
With the auto pen,
you know.
Yeah.
I mean, Fauci was complicit in all of this stuff, but he was the front guy they put in front of them. Hear what it says: Fauci was granted a preemptive pardon. preemptive by former President Joe Biden with AutoPen, which could shield him from some consequence related to the pandemic. Paul also said that he has yet been given access to the names of people who were part of the process determining the Wuhan research, but is continuing to seek interviews. I mean, this goes on and on. There was so much government collusion with Big Pharma and with Wuhan and with government contractors during COVID, Austin. It's unbelievable how they did this, and they covered it all up. The problem is, they've got the emails, and they realize that. See,
digital footprints, baby.
But when you put stuff online, you can't do that because there's always a record of it.
Always somewhere.
It's always somewhere. It doesn't go away.
And I told this to Cindy yesterday, and mark my words on this. I'm usually accurate about a lot of stuff on here. It will come back the longer you research this. We will find out, as we pretty much already have. I'm telling you this right now, but it will start to come out more and more, hopefully, by the grace of God, and I mean that sincerely, that we will all start to realize that COVID was the largest psychological warfare attack that we've ever seen on human history.
No, PSYOP.
In fact, it was psychological warfare, PSYOP.
Fauci testified in 2023 before the U.S. Senate and noted he had never lied before Congress. Lie. That's a lie. This directly contradicts everything he said in committee hearing to me, denying absolutely that they had funded any gain of function, and it's absolutely a lie. That's why I sent an official criminal referral to the DOJ, Paul wrote on X back in 2023. Paul also said earlier this summer that he hasn't been given access to the names of people who were part of the process determining the Wuhan research, but is continuing to seek the interviews. Guys, this whole thing with COVID was a giant eugenics protocol to depopulate the planet. They gave 5 billion people a shot that had been in cold storage for decades. They did this for years ago with the DARPA research they had. All of this stuff was being used by these guys who Trump met with, probably Bill Gates and the rest of this gang, in order to use vaccines to reduce fertility on the people who they were injecting. This is unbelievable, and to kill them.
And it was also a level of psychological research and data collection to see how far they could push the human mind and human psychology, how far people would allow themselves to be taken down a road they didn't want to go. Remember, 80 to 90% of the people didn't really want to get the shot at first. Everybody was skeptical. Everybody was skeptical of it. Nobody really wanted to go along with it. But people went along with stuff they didn't agree with, and that was a giant data research gathering intel machine. They did that to see what they could get away with, how far people allowed it to go. That's why finally when people started pushing back, they saw nobody wanted to get boosters anymore. They finally started backing out of it and said, okay, we've gotten our data, we've gotten our intel, enough people have gotten the shot. Now we're going to pull back due to credibility because now everybody's realizing what's going on. This is why I told everybody to hold your ground when it was happening.
The largest conspiracy in the world history continues. Yeah, it was and continues to be a massive conspiracy to destroy our health to enrich themselves. The super axis of evil, Big Pharma, DC politicians, dying legacy media, Silicon Valley social media totalitarians, the World Health Organization, the WEF, and Bill Gates and his fellow billionaire psychopaths have conspired for decades to create disease and sickness while enriching themselves from their toxic treatments that just make us sicker. The COVID planet-wide genocide was the last straw. The hearings this week unequivocally prove the conspirators will stop at nothing to keep their grift going. They will kill JFK Jr. if they can, just like they killed his father and his uncle. Wow, I'm going to post this again so you guys can read it again, and I'll cover this tomorrow on the show again because I didn't have a chance to read much of this. You know, years ago, they had something called War of the Worlds.
Yep.
It was with Orson Welles, and it was a radio broadcast that they did back in the 30s.
Yep.
And what it was from the book, you know, The War of the Worlds, and they broadcast it live to the American population who didn't have TV back then, who listened to the radio every night, as if it was a live news feed broadcast. It was brought to us by the OSS. It was a beta test to find out how much panic they could create by giving out false information
on the radio,
and people were rioting all over the country. People were scared to death the Martians were coming. I kid you not. And they found out that it was orchestrated by our government to see what could be done using radio or TV or mass media to create mass psychosis.
Yep.
Look it up if you don't believe it. Unbelievable mess it was.
And that's why keep your brain strong, keep your stress down, keep your memory and your focus good. Magnesium brain food, if you need it. Last day product of the week. It'll be changing later on this afternoon. And if you guys missed the sale on it and you need it still over today, just call up and I'll honor it on the phone till the end of the day because berberine will be changing later on.
Collagen peptides, only if you don't want your fingernails to split and fall off.
Yeah.
And your hair falling out, only if you want that. If you want your hair to fall out, don't take this.
It's really tough. Appreciate you guys. Stay strong and healthy. Thank you for continually putting reviews up. I saw this earlier. You guys are putting more and more reviews on the products. I really appreciate that. That helps expand everybody's knowledge on the products and kind of get real-world intel on it that they can apply. So it's on sale, 10% off. for a few more hours, and emails if you need anything. Team Health Masters, make sure you sign up for subscription products that you want. Emails if you need anything. Check out the podcast every single day. If you guys need anything, Team Health Masters, we're your place. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you for your support. Keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, the creator of our universe, who built us, who put us together, whose power is in us that raised him from the dead if we believe in him. I love you guys. Thank you for your support. I will talk to you guys again, and also talk to you guys again tomorrow, Lord willing.